Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
If you would stand with me as we reverence the reading of His Word. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms. I want to go to the 8th division, Psalms 8. Let me say happy Father's Day to all the dads in the house. Amen. Happy Father's Day to you. My kids have been wishing me a happy Father's Day just about all week. They were doing it yesterday, and I was like, man, you know, they were wanting to give me my gift early and this, that. I was thinking, I got to be careful because they're all right here on the front row. But I was thinking that, man, I need to give them a gift because I'm more rewarded in being their dad than they could ever imagine. Amen. Hallelujah. Love you guys. Y'all gonna mess around and break me up and make me crying up in here. I can't be looking at you no more. Psalms 8, you get there, say amen. We'll look at it beginning in verse number 3. Now, we're not Baptists because it's 12:20 and we're at church. Nah, I'm just messing with you. I know probably most of y'all are Baptists, right? We all that, right? I've been baptized. I'm Baptist. Somebody said, I thought you was Methodist. I am. My method is the book. I thought this was a Pentecostal church. It is. We've been filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. Well, I thought this was the Church of Christ. Oh, it's definitely His church. It's not the Church of God in Christ, that too. We are all witnesses of Jehovah. But here's what I'm getting at. I'm gonna plan to have you out here by 1 o'clock, is that all right? My clock says I got 22 minutes, and I'm telling you, that's not gonna happen. I got more word than that 22 minutes is ever gonna give me, all right? So worship went a little long, but I'm going to try to have you out of here by 1. Can you hang till 1? All right, 11:30 service has become known to the service of folk leave early. Can you hang till 1? Ask your neighbor, can you hang till 1? Now listen, I done preached twice, and whether you leave in 10 minutes, it ain't going to affect me, but here's what it affects, is when you way down the aisle and you got to stop everybody from paying attention. Excuse me, and I'm just trying to cut down on the distraction. Can you hang till 1? All right, good deal. Psalms 8, verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have what? Dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put what? All things under his feet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and that you're a God who stands outside of time. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would just take over this service, Lord, that you would take dominion, that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We believe and trust that your Spirit will lead us into all truth. I pray for all that would be under the sound of my voice, those here in this assembly, those watching this live feed. I ask that you would bless our hearing, that we would receive revelation, knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, and conviction of truth. I ask that you think through me words that you would have spoken. Speak through me words that you would have spoken. Lord, take over my thoughts and my words. May both be acceptable in your sight. Father, I pray that you would speak. Lord, your Spirit would speak by me, that your word would be on my tongue, that you would make my tongue the pen of a ready writer, that I might write on the hearts and minds of these your people, your anointed word, removing their burdens and destroying their yokes forever. As we boldly declare that, Satan is defeated, we are redeemed, and Jesus is Lord. In Jesus' name, Amen. And you may be seated, and I hope you maintain that position for about 40 minutes. Now, watch this here in Psalms 8. We begin in verse number 3, where the word says, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You look at this two ways. Who is man that God would have man on his mind? Who am I that God would have me on his mind? Another way of looking at this scripture is when you consider the power of God and just the awe factor of God in his creation, what was he thinking when he made man? Where was his mind when he made man? Verse 5 says that he made him a little lower than the angels. Hebrews 2 explains that means for the suffering of death. But notice in the latter part of verse 5 and in the first part of verse 6, we'll see why the question was asked, what is man? Because of what God had given to man. It says in the latter part of verse 5, "And thou hast crowned him with what, church? Glory and honor, glory and honor." Verse 6, "Thou madest him to have dominion." Now I'm stopping mid-sentence there because I want you to see those three things. You have crowned man, God crowned man with glory and honor and made him to have dominion. Let's read just that part of those two verses out loud. Ready, read. "And hast crowned him with glory and honor, and thou madest him to have dominion." So those are three words I want you to get a hold of. Glory, honor, and dominion. Say that out loud. Glory, honor, and dominion. Because when God made man, that's what he gave him. Glory, honor, and dominion. He made him to have dominion. When you hear the word dominion, I want you to think kingdom. I hope you're hearing me say this so much you can't escape it. You'll just be laying in the bed thinking about kingdom, just driving down the road thinking about kingdom, having a kingdom mindset. What is kingdom? Take the word king, dumb, and separate it between the G and the D. Kingdom, king, it's the king's dominion, the king's domain. God put man in the earth, Adam, and he gave him dominion. Notice what he gave him dominion over. Let's read verse 6 out loud together. Ready? Read. "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." He didn't make man to be subject to anything. He didn't make man to be in bondage to anything, including himself. God did not make man to be in bondage to another man. God did not make man to be in bondage to anything that would come up out of this earth. There is nothing that God made man to be in bondage to. Therefore, we ought to be walking in freedom. Hallelujah. You could have said amen to that. There is nothing that man's been made subject to. Now, when you look at verse 6, it says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands." That's a delegation. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. God was saying, I created it all. I'm the author of it. The author is the authority. The author is the authority. The reason the world works so hard to remove God from creation, to say that everything evolved, is because the author is the authority. And God, as the creator of all things, is the author. He is the origin. He is the beginning of all things. And we see in his word that when he made man, he delegated. He put man over everything that he had made. That's a delegation of authority. That's honor. And so when he gave man dominion over the works of his hands, it was for the sake of advancing his kingdom. Now, if I wanted to sum up kingdom living in just a nutshell, to simplify it for everybody, it would be by teaching you the Lord's Prayer, the opening line of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, help me, thy will be done, keep on earth as it is in heaven. So kingdom, it's recognizing that God has given me dominion, that God has given me a purpose, that God has given me a mandate, an assignment. And my assignment is to advance the will of heaven in the earth, to advance the love of heaven in the earth, the wisdom of heaven in the earth, the faith of heaven in the earth, the truth of heaven in the earth, the word as it is in heaven in the earth. That is every one of our assignment under this kingdom mandate. So God made man to have dominion. Adam became a subordinate king. He was given dominion. God was advancing heaven through colonization in the earth, and Adam became his subordinate king. But in the Garden of Eden, Adam committed high treason. He committed high treason. He turned over the dominion over to the enemy. That's why Lucifer, Satan, in Luke 4, looks at Jesus and says, "Bow down and worship me. Let me give you all the kingdoms of the world, for they have been given unto me." He was saying unto Jesus, "Let me give you these kingdoms." But Jesus knew that he came to take the keys of the kingdom. He knew that he came to restore the kingdom. Hallelujah. And when he got up out of that grave, after having spilt his blood on this planet, he redeemed the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. That's good news right there. And he's made you and me heirs of this kingdom. Hallelujah. Now, there are three words here that we're going to spend the next 3 weeks, including today, talking about, and that is glory, honor, and dominion. Now, we talked about dominion last week. I want to continue it today, and then, Lord willing, next week, we're going to talk about honor, and then we're going to end this series talking about glory. Why glory? Because it is the ultimate goal and objective of God in every one of our lives, that we bring his kingdom glory. If your life is not bringing God glory, you are not fulfilling your purpose. If your life is not bringing God glory, you are not fulfilling your purpose. You will never be at more peace. You'll never be happier. You'll never feel more fulfilled than when your life brings God glory, because that is the end result of why God created man. So we're going to deal with that one last. But right now, I want to talk about this dominion thing. So if you would, come with me to Genesis, and I want to go to the 17th chapter, Genesis chapter number 17. So God has delegated to man his kingdom. He's put man over all the works of his hands. He's put everything he created under man's feet. That's why you don't have to be in bondage to anything. Hallelujah. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be in bondage to anything, because God has made you a dominionaire. You say, what is a dominionaire? It is an heir of dominion. You are an heir of dominion. You have inherited dominion. I can't hardly wait till next week when we talk about honor, when you begin to see what's been delegated to you by God. The devil don't want you to know what's been delegated to you, what God has delegated, the position, the rank, the power that he has offered unto you. Jesus, understanding what man has received by God, asked this question. I think it's in John 10. He said, "Why, men, why do you seek honor one from another? Why is it that you want one another's honor and you seek not the honor that comes from God only? Why do you seek the honor that only a man can give you, but you don't seek the honor that God can give you?" Hallelujah. We're going to talk about that honor, Lord willing, next week. But God delegated dominion over to man. But sadly, there are many that do not know what they have inherited. There are many in the body of Christ that do not know what they've inherited. And there are those that do not believe and are outside of faith and are outside the kingdom, and they don't know the ultimate purpose, the plan, the identity that God has for man. So I want to go to Genesis chapter 17. When you get there, say amen. Because when you come to Genesis 17, we meet this man by the name of Abram. This is after the flood. God is starting back over from scratch, but he's sticking with plan A. Plan A is that he would have a nation of people in the earth that would advance the agenda of heaven in the earth. That was his original plan with Adam. Though that plan failed, God didn't go to plan B. He's sticking with plan A. So he comes to another man by the name of Abram, and watch what happens here in verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before thou me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly." And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, and behold, my covenant is with thee, And thou shalt be a father of many nations, many ethnic groups. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham. Without me getting into the Hebrew of the name, what God did is he changed his name to fit his purpose. He was going to become a father, so therefore he added that part to his name. It's self-explanatory in verse 5 when he says, for a father of many nations have I what? Made thee. He told him that before he ever had a boy. I've made you a father of many nations. Jesus would come out of that nation. He would come out of this family that God would establish through the patriarch Abraham. Now, why would God establish this family in the earth, this nation in the earth? Verse 6, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, read the rest, and kings shall come out of thee. And kings shall come out of thee. So let's get verse 5 and 6 down. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father. I'm going to make you a father. And what was going to come out of that in verse 6? Kings shall come out of thee. Abraham, I'm going to make you a father, and kings shall come out of thee. So what was God saying? God was saying, Abraham, I need somebody. I need somebody that will raise up some dominionaires. I need a father that will raise up a generation of dominionaires. I need a father that will raise up another generation that will understand the power of the kingdom of God. Let me explain this to you with a quick story. My family and I, we often pass this house that looks like it's been abandoned by, I don't know, 10 years. It looks like nobody's lived in it for 10 years, easy. And there's a vehicle still parked in the driveway, and it's covered with muck and dust, and the house is overgrown, the hedges overtaken with poison ivy, the grass hadn't been mowed, and everything's just corrupt and broken. And I, one day I looked at the house, and I want y'all to stay with me here. I don't like to tell a lot of stories, but if it'll help you understand the scripture, I'm gonna use it. And I think this will help you pull it together. One day I looked at my boys, James and Jerry, and I said, sons, I said, look, don't ever let daddy's house look like that if something happens to me. Don't ever let the house get overgrown with weeds and the vehicles get overtaken with dust. I said, you know what happened there? I said, there was no successor. There was nobody. I don't know what happened. Did the man die? Did he move away? Was it a man? I mean, I don't know. But what happened? Why didn't somebody step up and pick up the house and take care of the house and move in the house? Why didn't somebody take care of the vehicle? Why is it sitting like it looked like it may have been 10 years ago? And I've got to look past the filth. I've got to look past the weeds. I've got to look past the deterioration and try to see what that house might have looked like in its glory. What that yard might have looked like when it was being mowed. What those hedges might have looked like when they were tended to. What that truck might have looked like when it was washed and being driven. I have to try to look through the fallen nature of the property and see if I can catch a glimpse of what it might look like 10 years ago. But because there was no successor, there was no one else to step in when that man fell in his health or fell into death or whatever happened, there was nobody else to advance that property, that vehicle, that house. To me, that became a picture of planet Earth. It became a picture of our nation. It became a picture of this world that God gave man this earth, and it was beautiful and it was perfect and it was glorious. And he said, okay, man, I'm giving you the keys. I'm going to give you the power. Everything I've made, I'm turning it over to you. You can have the house. You can drive the car. The lawn is yours. The garden out back and the homegrown tomatoes, and you can even fry them when they're green. All that is yours. But then years passed, and now the garden is overtaken with weeds, and the vehicle doesn't run anymore, and the house is falling down. Why? Because the one that inherited the domain did not raise up anybody to succeed it. No one was raised up to continue the kingdom into the next generation, and the results are what we see outside these walls. What's wrong with this world? What's wrong with men that they would hate other men that were made in the image of God, that you would have a white man to
hate a man because he's black, or a black man that would hate a man because he's white. How could we get so far from God? Somebody said to me once, well, you know, God doesn't see color. I beg to differ. God does see color. When you say God doesn't see color, you're saying he don't need to see me in the color I am, but he made you the color you are, and there's nothing wrong with you being the color you are. I was made white. There's nothing I can do about that. Those that were made black, Asian, Hispanic, Heinz 57, we are who God made us to be, but we were made in the image of God, and God is so big, and God is so amazing that one race, one ethnicity could not tap the glory of who he is, so he spread himself in white man, black man, Hispanic man, Indian man, Asian man, French man, Irish man. He said, I'm too big for one ethnicity. Why is man hateful? Why is man corrupt? Why does man shed his own blood? Why is man so perverted and so twisted? Because generation after generation after generation, there's been no succession. Fathers have not raised up dominion heirs. Fathers have not raised up dominion heirs. God looked at Abraham, he said, look, he said, kings are gonna come out of you. Kings, you are gonna raise up dominion heirs. Listen, moms and dads, parents, we either raise up children that know the power of the kingdom and walk in the dominion that God has given them, or this world's gonna take dominion over them. And I refuse as a parent to allow this world to take dominion over our children. Chris and I refuse, come hell or high water, refuse to let this world take dominion over the mind, body, life, future of Jaron, Lana, James, and Mila. No, so help me God, this world will not take dominion over the minds, bodies, and spirits of our children. Want to raise up dominion heirs. I pray if something happens to me that these kids will take this ministry, take my life to places I could have never on my own. There's got to be some succession in the body of Christ. When God said, I'm going to make you a father, he said, it's for the sake of raising up kings. Now come over with me to one chapter, to Genesis 18. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Say it out loud. Dominion heirs. Boys and girls, sons and daughters who know who they are in the kingdom of God, who know their purpose as citizens of the kingdom of God, that it's to advance the will of heaven in the earth, dominion heirs. I don't live for this world. I live for the kingdom. I don't live for the systems of this world. I live for the kingdom. I don't look to the systems of this world because they are not my source and they are not my hope. My hope is not in a man. My hope is not in a political system. My hope is not in a social system. My hope is in the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My prosperity, my peace, my health, my security does not come from man. It comes from God. I live solely dependent on the kingdom of God. My king is my source, my defender, and my protector. We've got to raise up a group of young people that have that kind of conviction. So they're not dependent on the government. So they're not dependent upon the world. They're not getting their truth from a socially broken system. They're not getting their future from a politically broken system. No, there's nothing in this world that can provide security and peace and hope and prosperity. Only in the kingdom of our God. Seek first the kingdom. It's the first thing God tells us to seek when we have a need. Matthew 6:33. Come on. 1 o'clock's getting close. We've got to move forward. Come on here. Watch this. Genesis 18, you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He's like, I don't even know if Abraham knows what I'm up to. Verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Should I tell Abraham what I'm up to? He don't even know why I've chosen him. He doesn't know what I'm up to. But let's make sure we remember. Remember, he said, I'm going to make you a father. And what would come out? Kings shall come out of you. I'm going to make you a father, and kings shall come out of you. Glory to God. Listen, we as the church, we as the family have got to recognize that the strength of a society comes from the home. The strength of a community comes from the home. Psalm 127 says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Then it says, except the Lord build the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. When you put those two together, Psalm 127, God is saying, I keep the city through the home that I build. I'm going to say that again. It's in Psalm 127. I keep the city through the home that I build. God's solution for society begins at home. When God wanted to advance his kingdom, he started with a father, not a political figure, a father. He said, I will have kings. I will have successors that will understand dominion that will come out of a home. The strength of any society is the family in that society. You take me to a neighborhood where there is a breakdown in the home, where there's a breakdown of the mother or the father or both. I will show you a community that is broken. I will show you children that are growing up in the streets in bondage. I might even show you a neighborhood that is not safe. And you would say, why is that neighborhood not safe? Because at some point, the families in that neighborhood lost their strength. Maybe a daddy made a baby, but he didn't come back to raise. And now mama's on the job. Whatever the reasoning may be, and I'm not blame. I'm just saying, if you break down a home, you are going to receive the results in the community, because the strength of the community is in the home. The reason I'm saying this is because if we don't get our marriages right, if we don't get this parenting thing down, there's no hope for the future of our communities, our cities, and this nation. Our hope is not in another political candidate, because what if we don't get a choice of someone that actually knows God? Whose fault will that be? It goes back to the home. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching at a brick wall, and I'm not saying you're a brick wall. I just won't stop screaming this. We've got to get it right with our kids. Show me a man, any man, invested in his children. I'll show you a man that's blessed. Show me a home that's invested in their children. I'll show you a home that's blessed. Take me into your house and let me see your kitchen table. And what's on that table is going to tell me how healthy you are. Do you sit at that table? Do you eat at that table? Do you fellowship at that table? Are you ever together as a family? The strength of your family is the strength of your community. The strength of this church is the strength of the family. The strength of the city of Shreveport goes back to the strength of the family. If our churches grow old, if I run out of time, then I'll pick it up next week. If our churches grow old, I was sitting at lunch with a white-headed man, an older man, business owner in this city. We're having lunch, and he said, Pastor, in my church, everybody has white hair. He said, there's no future. He said, Pastor, you don't know how blessed you are. That you got 700 kids a Sunday at Word of God. He said, that's the hope. That's the future. I'm not being critical of a church that doesn't have youth. Please hear my heart. What I am saying is that if we don't raise up future kids and young children, kids and teenagers, youth that know God, then what is to come of God's kingdom? What's to come of our future if we don't raise up kids that know the kingdom? Our kids are too important to turn over to the government to educate. Our kids are too important to turn over to the streets to just have their way. We've got to recognize that if we want the blessing of God channeled through our lives, we must invest in our children. And that's more than just giving them a roof over their heads and food to eat. That is investing in them spiritually, mentally, physically. Y'all hearing me? Show me a man that abandons his kids. I'll show you a man that no matter how much money is in his pocket, he doesn't have peace. I'm telling you, you look in the church, look outside, no matter where you look. It's a spiritual principle, and that's what God was saying here about Abraham. Watch this in verse number 19 of Genesis 18. He said, For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So what did God say? God said, Abraham don't even know why I chose him. Abraham don't even know why I chose him to build this nation. He said, I chose him because I knew he'd teach his children. Now, when you read the Bible, is there anybody as blessed as Abraham? All blessing came from Abraham. Now, here's the question. Because you'll have people say, Pastor, I would do better for my children, but I can't afford it. Well, are you not doing better for your children because you can't afford it? Or can you not afford it because you're not doing better for your children? Now, some of y'all got to think about 5 minutes on that, and maybe at midnight, you're like, okay, I think I got what he just said. I know it's heavy. My point is you start spending time with your boys and train them to be men, and you start spending time with your daughters and train them to be young ladies, and you watch the favor and blessing of God just begin to funnel right into your life, and you'll see God saying, ooh, if you're going to invest in the next generation, I'm going to invest in you. You better hear what I'm saying. If you're going to invest in the next generation, then I'm going to invest in you. Can we conceive with this? That the religious systems of this world are failing. The social systems of this world are corrupt. The political systems of this world are broken. Can we all agree with those? I think we all could if we actually look what's going on. Then what is the answer? Kingdom. What is the answer? Jesus. What is the answer? His word. Listen, what am I getting at? People hear me talk about religion and think, man, what's up with that? He's not religious? No, I never told you I was religious. Religion put Jesus on a cross. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. I believe that God sent Jesus to have a relationship, not religion. Religion is a movement that turned into a memorial that became a monument that people go back to on Sunday and visit the monument and think about the memories of a movement. The kingdom of God is not a monument because it's not a memory, because it's greater than a movement. Just leave me alone. Let me get back. Let me read something. We need something relevant. We need something real. We need revival. We need rejuvenation. It should not be hard for any of us to walk out of here today in about 8 minutes and not be able to see the brokenness of factories, the brokenness of businesses closed down, overgrown, nothing in the parking lot, nothing being produced, looking at houses and neighborhoods that are deteriorating and broken, looking at marriages that are separate and kids that have no homes. It shouldn't be hard to look at what's happening in our city and say, man, I remember the glory of the day when kids used to ride their bikes down the sidewalks. I remember the glory of a day when you see little girls playing jump rope out in the front lawn, but now that's been replaced with something else. Why? Because we let the devil take dominion, and now our babies can't play jump rope because the enemy has taken over our neighborhoods, taken over our schools, taken over our systems, all while we sat back not knowing that God had given us dominion, but we were worshiping our monuments, thinking about the memories of a movement while the devil came in and took over. But what I'm saying now, it's time to take it back. Tell your neighbor, it's time to take it back. Now tell your neighbor that it's time to take it back. We've been given the dominion. What are we leaving? You say, Pastor, you're preaching, I have no kids. Yes, you do. It's a kingdom agenda. We got to raise up a kingdom of young people. Of all the employees that Word of God has, we have more employees whose job is children than any other facet of this ministry. We have an academy that invests in kingdom education throughout the school year. The kids' scores at Word of God Academy are off the chart. If you wanted to judge excellence by what's going on in the public sector, which you shouldn't, but if you did, our numbers are off the charts. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've got kids in elementary at Word of God Academy that are testing at a post-high school level. Why? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We have a Word Kids ministry team that is making the kids excited about coming to church. They walk in a room and they know it was painted for them, that it was decorated for them, it was created for them, and there's colors and there's life and there's enthusiasm. Why? Because we've got to reach the next generation. I know some folk will walk into the worship center here and say, what's all them lights? Why they got to do it? What's that big screen for? Why they got all that for? We're trying to reach today's generation. Today's generation is different than your generation. Let's just reach today's generation. God ain't moved by the light. He created light. If he created light, surely we can use it to worship him. No, we want our monument that reminds us of our memories. A movement that happened in 1982. We've got to raise up another generation. We're not going to be here forever. Who's going to be the future? Who's going to be the future preacher? Who's going to be the future pastors? Who's going to be the future businessmen? Who are going to be the future educators and ministers and coaches? Who's going to take over when we're gone? That's what we got to think about. God said, I'm going to make you a father, Abraham. Kings are going to come out of you. Dominionaires are going to come out of you. Dominionaires are going to come out of you. The Lord spoke to me one day. He said to me, you're not raising kids. He said, you're raising parents. My wife and I have to look at our four children and say we're raising parents because everything we do to them is the type of parent they're going to be. What's the future going to look like for my grandchildren? It will be my fault. Hallelujah. Listen, if you come to church and you get run over by a bunch of kids, thank God. That's the future right there. No greater joy than being a father. No greater joy than seeing these dominionaires coming up. Hallelujah. I want us to pray over this city. I want to pray for our fathers here, our mentors, our teachers, our coaches, our ministers, our pastors. Fathers and men of influence. That means you may not be a father, but you're a coach, you're a minister, you're a teacher. Fathers and men of influence, would you stand? Fathers and men of influence. Oh, glory, I sense the anointing in this place. Oh. Let me say this, there was a time in American history when 80% of churchgoers were women. And I know men were probably thinking, hey, I was out making a living. And I get that. But to see this many men today in church excites me. I want to pray over you. Father, I pray for every man standing here. Every father. Every man of influence. Every coach, pastor, minister, teacher, mentor, leader. God, I ask forgiveness for the sins of our fathers and our grandfathers. That left this nation in this condition. That left this city in this condition. That left our neighborhoods in this condition. That left their post. For the fathers who left their children. You give us as men the wisdom and the strength to take back our homes, to take back our children, to take back our communities, our neighborhoods, our streets, to make them safe to play in again. You said what we bind on earth, you would bind in heaven. And what we loose on earth, you'd loose in heaven. God, please, one marriage at a time, one home at a time, one neighborhood at a time. We want to see our communities change. Not to have to look back and wonder what they look like in their glory. What we call the good old days. Give us as men a conviction that we are responsible for the next generation. Men, there is a weight on us. And I hope you feel it right now. We're responsible for the next generation. Any time you invest in your kids is not wasted. Any time you spend mentoring another man is not wasted. Any time you spend investing in a future leader, it's not wasted. It is a must. Lord, equip us as men to be men. I thank you that you've not given us the spirit of fear. And I thank you, Lord, for these men here today that may have been raised without a daddy and may not really know what manhood looks like. I thank you that you fill them with your spirit, with the strength of your spirit to be a man. Give us a conviction that our words are good, to not make promises we can't keep. to never judge another man who was equally made in your image. Give us a conviction for the future, for our children and our children's children. God, if there be a man here today that's just out of touch with his own kids, I pray for conviction. That we'd be who you called us to be as daddies. Give us influence in this city. Give us influence on our jobs. I pray for your blessing mentally, physically, spiritually, financially. I pray for economic revival. I pray for spiritual revival. I pray that you bring this city back to life again. Give the leaders of every church in this city wisdom. Wisdom to reach out to the youth. They're all over. Kids walking down the streets. Hopeless. Churches right there in the same neighborhood. Give us the power, God. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for strength. As men, as fathers, to be who you called us to be. Men, society has tried to break you down. But I want you to know greater is he that is in you. There's more power in you than you realize. Hallelujah. You've got untapped potential. You've got untapped power. I declare there is vision in you. There is strength in you. There are ideas in you. There are inventions in you. The spirit of entrepreneur is in you. You are a leader. You are a teacher. You are an influencer. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are the head and not the tail. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are a son of the Most High God. You've been anointed by his spirit. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You owe no man nothing but to love him. You are a kingdom heir. You are a kingdom heir. I speak boldness over you in the name of Jesus, confidence over you in the name of Jesus. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You are confident. You speak the truth. You speak it in love. You shake hands with a firm handshake. You are not effeminate. You are a man. You are a man. You walk like a man. You talk like a man. You live like a man. God made you to be a man, and you walk in that manhood God gave you. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. I felt led to say that right there. All right, let me pray with you all. I want to invite all of you to pray this prayer with me. And I was through preaching at one, just like I said. Now, we just this is all Holy Spirit right here. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I ask forgiveness of my sins, that you would cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I ask that you fill me with your spirit, that I would walk in your kingdom, that I would advance your dominion, through every seat of influence that you place in my life. Use my life to advance your kingdom and to bring yourself glory. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.